You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Friday, April 30th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is changing the way we talk sports. Download the app and join me this week to get in on the action. Probably next Wednesday for our next Locker Room session. This is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins. Apologize, there was no episode Thursday. It was a really busy day, so we had one this morning, an interview with Matt Braun previewing this Royals series. Some stuff that's definitely still relevant, some big picture stuff we talked about. So even after this opening win for the Twins 9-1 over Kansas City tonight to kick off this series, that episode is still a good one. You know, it's still pertinent for sure. But the Twins do win 9-1 tonight. Really nice again after beating Cleveland 10-2 in that series finale. You know, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. The Twins are back. And what I mean by that is, well, the Twins are getting healthy now. Max Kepler is reinstated tonight, hit seventh for the Twins. Different left-handed bat, hit fifth tonight, a rookie. And we'll talk about him because he had himself a heck of a game tonight, did Alex Kirilloff. But the Twins lineup tonight was the fullest we've seen it in a long time. Luis Arraez, Josh Donaldson, Byron Buxton, Nelson Cruz, Kirilloff, Jorge Polanco, Kepler, Andrelton Simmons, and Bent Rortvedt, the Twins call up today. We'll discuss that move as well on this episode. But this is one of the deepest lineups that we've seen, with Kepler hitting seventh and Andrelton hitting eighth. It's a lineup without Jake Cave, without Williams Astudillo, you know, without JT Riddle. It's a deeper lineup, and you can see that when you have a deeper lineup, it really does make a pitcher work. And the Twins were taking good at-bats all night, walked 10 times tonight, did the Twins. Brady Singer, really good young right-hander for KC. I thought he had some really nice pitches in the first inning, buzzing the outside corner with a two-seamer, but he ends up leaving this game with a foot injury after Donaldson ripped one, a line drive straight off his foot that turned into a double play with bases loaded. It was the craziest thing. One out, of course. Just the Twins' luck. It was a play that defined Twins' April baseball. But even at that point, you know, they were at a crossroads in the second inning here. They were up 1-0. They really made Singer work in that inning and knocked him out, essentially. Sounds like he's okay, just a foot bruise for the young right-hander. But they were at a crossroads in this game, a fork in the road, where, you know, they could have shut down after going up 1-0, but they come right back out in the third and put up three more runs, and it's Alex Kirilloff with a three-run blast. Kirilloff almost hits a three-run homer in the first inning, just on the warning track. Expected batting average, I think, was .970 on the ball he lined out or flew out to Michael A. Taylor in center field, but he gets into this one to left field and it's gone. And, you know, the thing about Kirilloff, and this wouldn't be his only homer tonight, but the thing about Kirilloff is the question that people had, or that I had, and you know, analysts had, is okay, this is a sweet swinging left-handed hitter. You know, he's gonna spray the ball all over the field. What's gonna separate him from being an all-star player to just a really, really solid regular is gonna be that power. How many home runs is he gonna hit? You know, is he gonna be able to put the ball over the wall consistently? And you see tonight, he's got raw power. And if he's gonna hit, you know, opposite field home runs, and his home run in the fifth inning to center field, he pushed it out just a little bit more than he did in the first inning for his second of the night and his first two home runs of his career. I mean, you're looking at, I already think he's a mainstay in this lineup, and I think you saw why tonight. But you're looking at, you know, 25, 30 home run hitter every year, hitting 280, 290 with a high on-base percentage. It's just a really good player, and that was amazing to see. It's not like he's pulling these balls. You know, these two home runs were opposite field and center field. Center field at Target Field is huge. Like, you got to poke it to put it out there, and Kirilloff did twice, and one of them got out and one of them didn't. But goes Oppo Taco for his first of his career in the third inning. Just awesome to see that, you know, busted open. The Twins need that. I think Kirilloff is so important to this lineup because you have three great right-handed bats in Donaldson, Buxton, and Cruz. You need a left-handed bat to split them up. And Kepler can do that. I think that was the plan, and that's been the plan for Kepler to do that. And long-term this year, you know, one night doesn't change. You know, it doesn't mean that Alex Kirilloff is going to hit fourth and fifth every day for the Twins. But I do think that it mattered that he hit fifth and Kepler hit seventh, really lengthening that lineup for sure. Like, that gives you that depth that you're looking for. But if Kirilloff can be this left-handed bat to split up those three right-handers and just punish right-handed pitching and go the opposite way and go to center field with power. That's, again, you can see the upside of this lineup formulate in front of your eyes. You've seen it the last two games, 19 runs in two games for the Twins now, just waking up offensively and waking up offensively late in the game. You know, they get these leads, and we saw it so much in 2020. They get these early leads and then they shut down, right? What we've seen in the last 2 days, at least, or the last two games, is they get up 1-0 in the second and they come right back. Buxton draws a walk. Cruz draws a walk. They don't stop taking good at-bats. They took good at-bats all night long. The Twins took great at-bats tonight and just worked the Royals pitchers, like just worked them and drew walks. And Ben Roethlisberger drew a big walk in the second inning that didn't end up, you know, turning into a run. But, you know, they did a really nice job tonight of grinding it out, and that's what this lineup's built to do, and that's how they're going to beat teams, is grinding them out and then just punishing them with runners on base. And that's what Kirilloff did here with Cruz and Buxton on first and second, punishes a home run to left field, and that was great to see. Three-run shot, and then comes back up in the fifth and hits one too, a solo shot this time. But just great to see him, you know, great to see his swing, such a smooth swing. He's an imposing figure in the box. I talked about that with Matt this morning. He's an imposing left-handed hitter, and he was just fantastic. Let's talk about Byron Buxton. We should have like a Byron Buxton segment every day of amazing things that he does. He did more amazing things today. Let's talk about him after this break. Have you guys heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like the Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added the baseball to the platform. So check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game is compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher the value goes. And two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Byron Buxton singles in the first inning, steals second, walks in the third inning, scores. But, you know, being a catalyst on offense wasn't the, even though he was good offensively today, you know, in his first two at-bats, that wasn't the headliner for Buxton today. He made two amazing catches in center field, one coming in on a ball. Same guy, Andrew Benintendi hit both these balls, but Buxton comes in on one and steals a hit from Benintendi. It was a big steal, honestly, at the time. Twins were up 4-1, and this would have put runners on first and second with nobody out, and Buxton makes that amazing catch. You can see how he impacts the game. Like, you can just see how a catch like that can change the momentum of a game, with Pineda working through some struggles there and Buxton to save him with an amazing catch. And then Benintendi comes up again and Buxton steals a home run from him in the bullpen. Just amazing what we've seen from Byron Buxton. He does it all. He's a complete five-tool player. He is a star. And Buxton has been – there really are – I'm running out of words to describe how amazing he's been this year. And tonight you saw just more ways that he can impact the game. Stealing bags when he's not hitting home runs, stealing bags, stealing hits, stealing runs. That's what he does, you know. And you start to look at like the weight of runs that he saves and the weight of runs that he creates, and that's why you see such a high WAR player, such a high wins above replacement player, because he steals runs from the other team and he scores runs for you. That it usually comes out in the equation to be a good thing, and you know, no one does it better than Byron Buxton does on both sides of the ball, stealing runs and putting runs up on the board right now. I mean, I don't think it's ridiculous to say, I'm not the only one who said it, Byron Buxton's the best player in baseball right now. I think it's really hard to argue, at least today, right now, in this moment. And that can't happen for everyone. You know, not everyone has the talent. Very few guys have the talent to put together a month that he just did, offensively and defensively. But it was an amazing month for Byron Buxton. And, you know, looking forward, it just gives you a bunch of hope for what could be a truly magical season for him. Finally, after this long, windy road at the age of 27, he's finally going to have a huge year. Just got to keep him healthy. But what a month for Byron Buxton. And closes it out tonight with two of the best catches I've seen ever. Like, just amazing catches for Byron. He was great. But the whole lineup tonight just grinded. Ben Roerfelt gets called up. I mentioned, you know, interesting. Ryan Jeffers gets sent down, and Matt and I discussed this a little bit this morning, but Roerfelt gives him another left-handed bat. You know, I do think that that's significant against good right-handed pitching, like Singer, who's got a really good slider. I think Singer, guys like Singer dice up Ryan Jeffers right now. He's not putting together competitive at-bats, and I'm fine with bringing up Roerfelt, you know, as a left-handed bat, because the Twins had Alex Avila last year, they had Jason Castro in 2019 and 2018, but they need, it's not ideal to have Jeffers and Garver as both right-handed bats, especially when, I mean, neither of them really hitting, but when Jeffers is really struggling, because you're going to start Garver against every lefty. Jeffers ain't going to start against lefties. He's not going to take Garver's at-bats. And then that means he's stuck with guys like Brady Singer, who can throw a wicked slider and a great two-seam fastball, and it's like you're setting him up for failure in that case. And I know Matt Taylor wrote about this at Twins Daily a couple weeks ago, and at the time I was like, well, this has been the plan, you know, but I think it turned out in a way that the Twins didn't expect it to, and part of that is just neither of them were hitting. Garver had two home runs Wednesday, which is good, and he's going to be the primary starter now. He'll start tomorrow, Saturday, against Danny Duffy, and then Roerfelt probably on Sunday against Brad Keller. But it's good to have a left-handed bat at the end of the lineup. I know Rocco appreciates that because, you know, he loves to go right-left, 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 and it probably drives him crazy to have three right-handed hitters in a row with JD, Buck, and Cruz, but he's got to do it because those three right now are the heart of the lineup. And then you add in Kirilloff too. It's awesome. You know, it's fun to see this offense finally come together healthy. Miguel Sano sounds like he's going to be activated Saturday. Could see him out there, but you're going to start to see the Twins and Rocco have more opportunities to trot out different lineups. And I think one of the main questions that's emerging now, especially after the night that Alex Kirilloff just had, is, you know, what's the deal with Miguel Sano? Is he going to get starts at first base still? Should Kirilloff be playing first base every day? I think a good thing here is that Kirilloff's a lefty and that Sano is a righty, because there's an easy platoon split right there, and then you can maybe have a 50-50 split. But also how I look at it is, A, the Twins aren't going to stay healthy, unfortunately, for long. We've seen it in long stretches, very few times of them staying healthy all over the field, and it's just baseball and it's just sports. So some of these things will take care of themselves. But also, I think they have some flexibility here with a lot of guys who can play multiple positions. For example, you know, you can put Kirilloff in left, and they put him in right too. Like, you can put Kirilloff in right field if you want to start him against a lefty and sit Max down. If you want to give Buxton a day off, move Max over to center and put Kirilloff in right and Sano at first base. Like, they have different ways they can go. If you want to go Kirilloff at first base and give JD a day off at third, then you put Miggy at third, and Sano can play some third base too. Like, they're going to have options here, I think. Because Sano can play third and first, and because Kirilloff can play both corners and first base, I don't think they want him in right field, especially when Max is healthy. But it's just another way to get guys off their feet, and I think that's the way that Rocco wants to do it. And you've seen Donaldson play every day now, basically, since he's been back, and I know soon they're going to want to get him off his feet. And I think Sano at third, you know, played some third, but Arise is playing third, was playing third before Donaldson came back. So I don't know if they love Miguel at third, but I think they're going to find ways. Like, I think this is a problem. It's not a problem until we see that it's a problem, if that makes sense. And hopefully Sano comes back and he forces himself back into the lineup. But it's going to be tough, man. Like, if Sano comes back and he's struggling and he's taking at-bats from Kirilloff, I don't see that happen. I just don't see that happening because I have some belief that Sano is going to be better, and B, I have very little belief that this lineup can stay completely healthy. But right now it is, and it looks good. And Kyle Garlick's back. Expect him to get a start on Saturday. I expect Kirilloff to sit Saturday and then maybe Sano at first. You get a bunch of righties in the lineup, and I think this is exactly how they drew it up. Let's talk about the pitching and defense tonight, which I would argue, even though the Twins put up 9 runs, they put up 4 runs in the 8th inning off a struggling Wade Davis. But I would argue tonight that this game was about pitching and defense for the Twins. Let's talk about that after the break. Just an amazing performance all around. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well, and these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me. That is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Mention the 2 Buxton catches. Michael Pineda gets the start in this game. He goes 5 strong, gives up 1 run, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks. He got beaten by a line drive, and you know, after that point, I think he lost it a little bit there, but then came back to get Merrifield on a grounder to Simmons at short, and that was huge, you know, to get out of that jam. I think it was first and second with Witt up in a 5-1 lead. So that was big for Pineda. But he's just solid as a rock, man. Like he's a shoe-in almost every start. It wasn't the case last time out. It was a hiccup start, but almost every time he's out there, 5 innings, you know, matches strikeouts with innings and 1 or 2 earned runs. And most days he's going to give you a quality start, give you 6 and give up less than 3. He's solid as solid can be. And I know Gleeman had a tweet tonight, a stat. I think Pineda has like the second highest winning percentage or something in Twins history. And I believe it. The Twins win a lot of games when Pineda starts because it doesn't matter the lineup. Like his 3-pitch repertoire, and when he has that slider command like he did tonight, he's going to get a lot of righties out, and then his changeup looked good tonight too. He wasn't getting a ton of whiffs on it, but he's just so solid with his command on all 3 of those pitches, and he knows how to pitch. He's a great veteran. You know, he doesn't have the most electric stuff, but he does have excellent command, and it, you know, gives him the ability to go deep into games and really beat any lineup that a team puts out there. I thought Mike was great tonight. Duffy comes in, has a great inning of work. Robles is wild, man. Like, I'm a little worried about him. I just don't think that I trust him to throw strikes regularly, but we knew that, like, last year coming in. He's got big stuff. Like, he throws 97. He hit 97 tonight, which was good to see, and he's got a great changeup and slider, but it's just a matter of throwing strikes for him. And then Jorge Alcala came in and hit 100 on the gun tonight. I think it was 99.5. But, you know, round up to 100 on that. And then threw just a nasty slider to finish off the 8th inning and get Whit Merrifield. It was a disgusting pitch. Like, it's just consistency with him, too. Like, Robles and Alcala are similar in my mind, just in, like, their style. Robles is more seasoned, and he was a great closer 2 years ago for the Angels. But these two, like, big stuff. Command is shaky. Alcala more so, like, he just hasn't been in those high-leverage situations. So they're more weary about putting him out there in high leverage spots, and he comes out today with a big lead, you know, behind him, and they just kind of let him throw hard and put some work in and refine that command and try to get better against lefties too, because that's been one of his biggest problems for Alcala. He's got such a good fastball slider combo, but he gets burned by lefties because he doesn't have a third pitch, and that's part of why he got moved to the bullpen, or the reason why he got moved to the bullpen in the first place. But defense on full display tonight, and it was 9 innings long of good defense. Donaldson makes a great play in the 9th on a bouncing ball to 3rd that just stayed fair, and he one hops and throws, and it was a great play at 3rd. Louis makes a great catch to finish the game in left field. Buxton's catches, great. Kirilloff made some great plays, and Draughton is solid as solid can be as well at shortstop. And, you know, all around, I thought defensively this was just a really tight-knit, great game from a team that expects it to be. This is a front office and a team that assembled a group that they expect to play pristine defense. When you have Donaldson at 3rd, you got Andrelton at short, Kepler in right, and Buxton in center. Polanco, who they believe is a good second baseman, and from what I've seen, at least in the last few weeks, Polanco's been really good at 2nd. This is going to be a good defensive unit. Now you add in Ben Rortfedt, who's a defensive first catcher, And, you know, you can see why that's going to be a strength for them all year. And it's really nice to have that. And you just feel so much more comfortable with Simmons at short. And obviously with Buxton at center, you always feel more comfortable. But with Kepler and Wright, too, you feel more comfortable. Donaldson at third, you feel more comfortable. And it's just like, when it all comes together, you have games like tonight where I thought defensive plays, and especially from Buxton, shut down some opportunities where the Royals could have strung together some runs and gotten back into this game. I thought the defense, along with Pineda and Duffy and Robles and Alcala, all shut down these little mini splashes that the Royals had throughout the night and held them to one run, just a solo home run from Carlos Santana, as he does against the Twins, had done for a long time for Cleveland. Now he's doing it for Kansas City. This is a sneaky lineup in Kansas City. You know, the bottom half's no good with Michael A. Taylor and Nicky Lopez offensively, but Witt's good. Carlos Santana's good. Salvi Perez is good. Soler's a monster, even though, you know, he's not hitting the ball at all right now. Hunter Dozier's a player I really like. This, you know, the Twins, I thought, did a really nice job tonight pitching to a lineup that's hot. This is a first-place team, Kansas City, and I talked about this heading into the series. This is an opportunity for the Twins to say, whoa, buddy, you might be in first place, but you ain't no first-place team, and the Twins just kind of put their stamp on that tonight. Just top to bottom, a better ball club than Kansas City. Defensively, pitching, offense, just better. Better tonight. I thought they really showed it. And it was great to see because we haven't seen that a lot this year where the Twins just kind of impose their will. And it's still like it's a hamper on things when you look, and the record's still 9-15. But this is what they have to do. They have to chip away at it. They dug themselves this hole. You got to chip away at it and try to climb yourself out of here. Win this series tomorrow. Put yourself in a position to sweep on Sunday against a Brad Keller who's just been awful this year for Kansas City. Danny Duffy's been great, and he's going to start tomorrow against Matt Shoemaker. I think this is a pivotal game. I thought tonight was a pivotal game with Singer and a sub-3 ERA going against Big Mike, and the Twins just they made a statement, I thought, tonight. It was great to see them come together and play like they're supposed to play. This is the team we signed up for. This is the team that Derek Falvey signed up for. These last two games, great defense, offense coming to play for nine innings, and just solid can be starting pitching from Michael Pineda, you know, and that's how they drew it up, and tonight it all came together, and it was really great to see, and awesome for the fans at Target Field. Tomorrow's going to be in the 80s in Minneapolis. If you're going to the game, enjoy it. I don't know what Sunday looks like, but I got burnt today in mid-Missouri sitting out in the sun. It's almost summertime. The bats are heating up for the Twins, and more than anything, just taking great at-bats, and I think just getting more comfortable, and these guys getting into a routine and having more night games I think is good, and I just think right now you're starting to see this lineup come into its own, and this is a great time for it. You know, you got a 7-game homestand. You got 4 with Texas and that pitching staff. Let's pour it on here. You know, let's take at least 2 out of 3 from Kansas City, win one of the next 2 at least, and then 3 out of 4 from Texas. But we'll talk a lot more about that series next week. This is a great statement win for Minnesota tonight to impose their will on a Kansas City team that was riding high, and I think you can even knock some more life out of them these next 2 days and close that gap, which was 7 games, and I believe now it's 6 in the American League Central. But great win tonight. Twins win 9-1, just days after beating Cleveland 10-2. Great. Just fun to see. Easy wins. We'll take them every time. Winning's fun. Thanks for listening today. Have a great day. Go Twins. We'll be back on Monday breaking down the rest of this series. Looking forward to the Texas series. Exciting times, man. You're starting to see it come together, and enjoy watching. Go Twins.